Welcome to the Keystone Kickoff Show from the Labatt Blue Studio. Labatt Blue and Labatt Blue Light. Bleed blue and white, drink blue and light. And don't forget to try the new Labatt Blue Light Seltzer Variety Pack, available at retailers throughout Pennsylvania.
And welcome to the Keystone Kickoff Show, brought to you by DraftKings. The football season is just getting started at DraftKings Sportsbook, an official sports betting partner of the NFL. To kick off week two, DraftKings is giving all new customers, listen to this, it's a can't-miss offer. You bet just $1 on any football game this week, and you'll receive $200 in free bets instantly. So download the DraftKings Sportsbook app. Make sure you use code KSN, that's code KSN, this week at DraftKings Sportsbook, and you must be 21 or older. Pennsylvania only, new customers only, restrictions apply, in partnership with Meadows Racetrack and Casino. See DraftKings.com/sportsbook for details. Gambling problem, call 1-800-GAMBLER. It is the Keystone Kickoff Show. I'm Jim Galante, along with Dustin Hawkinsmith. Dustin, I was out in State College this past weekend. I got to tell you, the atmosphere was sensational there. I was downtown on Friday, a lot of people out, bar hopping, doing all the good stuff. But I also got to talk to some of our listeners, which was really cool. And I just want to do a quick shout out to Joel, who made the trip up to Happy Valley from North Carolina. He's a huge Penn State fan, huge Keystone Kickoff fan. He came in with his dad, John, grandfather, Tom, and the rest of the family. I got to talk to them, which was great. And there was also Brian and Beth were up from Georgia. They were the winners of the RV from GoPSU, RV.com. They had a great time. So you ready to talk actual football, Dusty?
Yeah, but I mean, that is all part of the story of this past weekend. Like, obviously, Penn State really performed well in that environment, but it was about the environment and seeing all these faces back, and also kind of understanding that this is the first of four consecutive home games. You know, there's going to be a chance to really stretch the Penn State fans' legs and really get ready, especially this weekend, as we'll talk about later, whiteout against Auburn. Big to see. You know, week one, we talked about the environments and seeing some of these traditions back. Week two presented the opportunity for Penn State fans to live that. And it's awesome to see fans up from North Carolina and for Mark from GoPSURV to give that, you know, the group from Georgia a chance to come and check out the game and have a nice place to stay for it.
Yeah, they were fantastic. Like I said, that was Brian and Beth. They had a great time. We had a beer or two together also, by the way, just to point that out.
A beer or seven. That's good.
Well, I spread it out. I had some over here, some over there, Dustin, you know, just, do you know what it felt like? It felt like a whiteout game weekend to me because the anticipation was so great. So I'm not going to be able to make it up there this weekend for the whiteout game, but it's going to be crazy. I'm jealous of everyone who is going to be able to make it out there. So let's talk about this game. It was a big win for Penn State. But let's start with your takeaways, Dustin, and let's start where we always have to start, the quarterback, Sean Clifford. What'd you think of his performance?
What a nice day for him, Jim. I don't think anybody would have watched this game and confused him for a Heisman winner. Let's say, oh, Joe Burrow. I don't think anybody would confuse him for Joe Burrow.
Not even
no,
you?
No, but I mean, just not even me for the first time in my life. This, I mean, anybody who's listening to this for the first time, I always think about this. It's been a running joke for the better part of, 2 years now?
Yes.
Saying that Sean Clifford is the next Joe Burrow. But I don't think Penn State needs him to be. And I thought in this game, with what Ball State was doing defensively, just smart and steady and composed and looked to be making the right choices a lot. I mentioned this in my notes to you, too. Just not even close, I don't think, to an interception in two games. And how about that for a stark contrast to last season? So whether this is Sean Clifford's growth or whether this is Mike Yurcich or whether this is just, you know, the offense starting to come together, to me, it just looks like Sean Clifford. If that version can show up whenever you get some bigger, faster, nastier guys around, then I think he looks good enough for Penn State to accomplish its goals this year. You know, there's skill talent around him. I think the line will come together. I don't think he needs to be extraordinary. I just think he needs to be an above average quarterback who calls the right protections and makes the right reads and all that stuff. And that looked to be a really good thing for him. What was he, 21 out of 29 in this game passing? Did some damage with his legs. Couple quarterback sneaks, by the way, that James Franklin addressed after the game. So just a nice showing for Sean Clifford. Just like the rest of the team, I think uneventful in the best way possible in this game.
Well, what was interesting, Dusty, is, again, he was, as you said, you're not going to confuse him for a Heisman Trophy candidate, but I think there are still some people, and you know who you are. In fact, I'm going to read one of the messages that I received during the game, Dustin, and here's what it says. Clifford really is bad. How many times is he going to overthrow guys? His bar of success has been lowered to simply not turning it over. Now, that's one of our – and there was a place in the game in the second half where he missed – I think he missed like two in a row where they were bad passes. How do you address that to our listener who I won't name, Steve?
Yeah, I think probably in those situations where you can rip off a chunk play, you can only afford to be off the mark so many times because you only get so many of those chances. I think the way the game flowed in this one where he wasn't asked to do a ton in terms of making plays down the field, and I'm sure we'll address that a little bit more as well, he was just fine. But, I mean, I think, again, looking back to Wisconsin and looking at those couple chances here, you do need your quarterback to take advantage when you get that open look where you get that one-on-one coverage down the field with Jahan Dotson. So that is very much to me a TBD. You know, that's something that I'm still interpreting and evaluating about Sean Clifford, because I need to see a little bit more, some more chances down the field to see if he can start making those throws with more regularity. But more or less, I would just kind of say no quarterback is perfect in every game. And I think if you're going to evaluate early in that game, what'd you say that text came through? Sometime in the first half?
No. Second half, there were a couple. And
okay.
And by the way, Steve, we tease because we love you. But this is the discussion we often have, Steve and I. And I think when it's in the moment, it's Penn State is up by so much, it's easy to see those passes and say, oh, well, not a big deal. But to Steve's point, it's what if this is, you know, against Auburn or Ohio State at a critical place where that pass, which you're not in conflict in the pocket and a guy is open, you better make that play.
It's fair. I do think looking back at, let's just say, Trace McSorley, if you judged him on the first half of some games, he came out amped and he came out overthrowing sometimes too. Not saying Sean Clifford is Trace McSorley, but I think the high bar of perfection that some fans are looking for out of Clifford. And, you know, I think it's reasonable because, as I mentioned before, these opportunities of having guys wide open, it's not going to happen a ton, especially against the Ohio States, especially against Iowa, which is now the number 5 team in the country. You know, you better take advantage when you see him. So I think there's a little bit of validity to what Steve is saying. I also think that some fans that are not on the Clifford bandwagon, just as some fans who are not on the Franklin bandwagon, there's always going to be an exhibit or two along the way that point to you being right about that.
I believe what happened last year early in the season, the mistakes that Clifford made and did cost them games, it taints your impression coming in. And for some people, it's like, oh, no, not again. Whereas if you didn't have that experience last year with Clifford, you'd probably be a little more forgiving of a bad pass or two. Let's move on, though, and because we could go all Clifford all the time. Let's talk.
Sure.
The bigger picture about this offense, and you alluded to the fact that they weren't going downfield, But the way they started this game, and yes, the defense had 2 3-and-outs. I'm not sure if that was more impressive or Penn State just marching down the field, not with any of those big plays down the field, none of those explosive plays, but it was a different offense than what we're used to seeing at Penn State, wasn't it?
Namely in the fact that they executed very, very well. And it was an interesting case study because I felt like Ball State was going to be looking to follow the Wisconsin blueprint on both offense and defense, really. And I think on offense, they broke away from that pretty early and stuck with the pass a lot. On defense, they never really flinched when it came to their approach of just trying to limit big plays. That's what it was in quarter number one. That's what it was in quarter number four. They didn't break from that and get more aggressive and look to try to create something or get Penn State off the field or create a takeaway. That's what Wisconsin eventually did. And Penn State was able to use that over-aggression, I think, against them. Ball State never got to a point where they lost patience in that approach. I felt like they're trying to manage the game to try to keep it tight and hopefully get a bounce or two or hopefully create a big play or get a block kick or something to generate some momentum for you. I didn't disagree with that approach at all, and I actually admire Mike New and his staff for staying committed to that all game long. They forced Penn State to put drives together. Last week, you know, they really made the bulk of their plays in explosive fashion, and that's what led them to a win. They decided to go out and make Penn State march, make them string together drive. Let's force you to execute offensively. And I think the promising thing was Penn State did execute offensively, especially early with those back-to-back scoring drives, back-to-back 3-and-outs. You put Ball State in a 14-0 hole, and it really felt like at that point in time the game was over. And Penn State did that by staying committed to taking what Ball State was giving them. And they did it in a very crisp and clean way. And I thought that was a really encouraging sign, too, that nobody got impatient. Mike Yurcich didn't. The Sean Clifford didn't. They managed what was in front of them. They put the ball in the hands of their playmakers and let them do what they did. And I thought it was all a really promising thing. You know, slow start at Wisconsin, fast start here in week two, but I think just crisp and clean throughout. And I think, you know, most, isn't that what most Penn State fans would have been or should have been looking for?
Oh, it was wonderful to see, because a typical Penn State team in this kind of game, it seems like they would always start slow. There'd be a 3-and-out, whether it was just a bad pass somewhere, missed block, somebody jumped, whatever, with a penalty to put them behind, you know, the markers. It was always something that would cause them to start slow. But in this game, it was so well executed. And we'll pick this up in the second quarter, Dustin. I want to ask you about this. Without being able to stretch vertically, it was as if they said, okay, we'll stretch it horizontally, the field, and make them cover east and west instead of north and south. If you're going to take that away, we'll take this. We'll pick it up from that point when we come back with quarter number two.
The football season's just getting started at DraftKings Sportsbook, an official sports betting partner of the NFL. To kick off Week 2, DraftKings is giving all new customers a can't-miss offer. Bet just $1 on any football game this week and receive $200 in free bets instantly. Download the DraftKings Sportsbook app and use code KSN. That's code KSN. This week at DraftKings Sportsbook. Must be 21 or older, Pennsylvania only, new customers only. Restrictions apply. In partnership with Meadows Racetrack and Casino. See DraftKings.com/sportsbook for details. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER.
Labatt Blue and Labatt Blue Light want to remind you that fall is the best season. Why? Because of football. Leaves. Fantasy football. Flannel. Beards. Tailgating. Oh yeah, and more football. Welcome to the best season ever. Grab some Labatt Blue and Labatt Blue Light. Because it's time to get undomesticated. Beer. Labatt USA. Buffalo, New York. Always enjoy responsibly.